Hi, so as I said, I'm Marcy, and today I'm going to be talking about a study that employs a fundamental cause perspective to examine socioeconomic and racial disparities in HIV mortality in the U.S. over a 19-year period. And I have been fortunate to work with Drs. Colin, Phelan, and Link. And I have nothing to disclose. HIV mortality in the U.S. is socially patterned. For example, in the beginning of the epidemic in the 1980s, HIV infection was most prevalent among homosexual men and injection drug users. However, more recently, the epidemic has shifted such that persons dying from HIV are increasingly women, racial and ethnic minorities, particularly Black and Hispanics, and older adults. Mortality rates due to HIV in the U.S. increased throughout the 1980s and early 1990s. In 1996, highly active antiretroviral therapy, or HART, became the standard of care for treating HIV. HART is a form of treatment for HIV that uses a combination of several antiretroviral drugs. As we know, HART revolutionized the prognosis for HIV, and since then, there have been substantial increases in survival after diagnosis of HIV and corresponding decreases in mortality. This graph from the CDC shows age-adjusted mortality rates due to HIV by sex for the years 1987 through 2004. It clearly illustrates the classic HIV mortality curve, especially among men. Years are listed along the x-axis, and number of deaths per 100,000 population is listed along the y-axis. Among men, the blue line, the age-adjusted death rates due to HIV increases almost linearly from 1987 through 1994, remains fairly constant through 1995, decreases markedly from 1996 to 1998, and then almost levels off until 2004. We see a similar, though less extreme, pattern among women, which is illustrated by the orange line. Compared to men, HIV mortality among women increases less dramatically between 1987 and 1995. We see a similar, although less substantial, decline in mortality from 1996 to 1998, and then a leveling off. The sizable decrease in mortality after 1995 has largely been attributed to the improvements in antiretroviral therapy. This next graph, also from the CDC, shows age-adjusted death rates due to HIV by race ethnicity. Again, we have years, this time 1990 to 2004 on the x-axis and deaths per 100,000 population on the y-axis. We see here the overall shape of the curves are the same as what we saw on the previous slide, but that mortality rates are highest among Blacks in blue, followed by Hispanics in orange, and then whites in green. Noticing the tremendous impact of the introduction of a new treatment, HART, we thought it would be interesting to examine mortality due to HIV in the U.S. from a fundamental cause perspective. Fundamental cause theory. Lincoln Phelan's fundamental cause theory maintains that as humans, beings improve and increase their ability to prevent or treat disease and thereby prolong life, this enhanced capacity combines with existing social and economic inequalities to create racial and socioeconomic health disparities. Such disparities in health are produced because the advantages associated with the new ability are divided according to the resources of money, knowledge, prestige, power, and beneficial social connections. Therefore, individuals and groups that are more advantaged in terms of resources will be in a better position to harness the new capacity to improve their health, and as a result will have lower mortality rates. Consequently, the fundamental cause theory posits that for causes of death for which there have been new life-extending information or treatments, disparities in mortality by SES and race will emerge or intensify. On the contrary, for causes of death for which there have been no developments, no consistent pattern, and no dramatic changes in disparities by SES or race are expected. The fundamental cause hypothesis provides the theoretical framework for this analysis. The development of HART, an innovation in treatment, greatly enhanced our capacity to treat disease and delay death from HIV. Therefore, HIV is an ideal case to examine the impact of a new treatment from a fundamental cause perspective. I will address two main research hypotheses in this presentation. The first hypothesis states that the association between socioeconomic status and HIV mortality will be significantly greater following the introduction of HART. This hypothesis follows directly from the fundamental cause hypothesis, which states that once a disease becomes more preventable or treatable, those who have greater access to socioeconomic resources will be more likely to avoid death. The second hypothesis states that after the widespread introduction of HART, HIV mortality will be more sensitive to increases in SES among whites as opposed to blacks. This is due primarily to the fact that racial disparities in health are not simply the result of SES differentials between blacks and whites, but are likely attributable in some part to things like racial discrimination, residential segregation, differences in wealth accumulation, to name a few. Although the fundamental cause hypothesis has been traditionally used to examine SES differentials in health status, we are extending its relevance to racial inequalities and mortality. So how do we go about testing these hypotheses? We combine death certificate data from the National Center for Health Statistics and census-based population estimates to create race, sex, and age-specific death rates for counties within the United States. I should say that we excluded Alaska. We limited our analyses to deaths attributed to HIV/AIDS among 15 to 64-year-old blacks and whites. And our population data consisted of county-level population estimates stratified by race, sex, age, and age year by year across the time period, which was 1987 to 2005. Socioeconomic status was captured using an aggregate measure which combined county-specific data taken from the 1980, 90, and 2000 decennial censuses. The SES measure was similar to measures used by Singh and colleagues and included variables such as the proportion in the county with less than 9 years education, at least 12 years education, white-collar occupations, access to a phone, and family poverty. And when we did factor analysis, these variables loaded on a single factor, and the alpha was pretty high. Okay, so I'm just giving how we coded the variables. For a period, we coded HART as pre-HART as 0 and post-HART as 1. For race, white was 1 and was 0, black was 1. And for sex, male was 0, female was 1. And we had five age categories. Year, urban, and SES were continuous variables, with urban representing the proportion of persons in a given county residing in urban as opposed to rural areas. Our unit of analysis was individual cells identified by state, county, year, race, sex, and age category, and the dependent variable was deaths attributed to HIV in each cell. Negative binomial regression models were used for multivariate analyses. We chose the negative binomial model because it is appropriate for count data, and the coefficients are more stable than those of Poisson models when there is overdispersion in the dependent variable. So we employed two main models to test our hypotheses. We ran each of the models above first without the interaction term, which I put in parentheses, and then with it. So the first model was used to test whether the association between SES and HIV mortality significantly differed between the pre- and post-HART eras and incorporates the period SES interaction term. The second model was used to test whether the association between SES and HIV mortality in the post-HART period was significantly different by race and incorporates a race-SES interaction term. So what did we find? Well, first we found the same trend in HIV deaths as those from the CD graphs shown earlier. In general, there was an increase in death rate due to HIV, followed by a sharp decline and then a plateau. Black males had the highest rates, followed by black women, white men, and then white women. Okay, so this table shows the results from the multivariate negative binomial regression model using the first equation I just presented, which we used to test our hypothesis that the association between SES and HIV mortality would be significantly greater during the post-HART period as compared to the pre-HART period. In the first column, we have the predictor variables. In the second column, we have the incidence rate ratios between the independent variables and HIV mortality in the model without the interaction term. And in the third column, we have the coefficients when the interaction term is included. So we can see that all the predictors are statistically significant at the 0.001 level. And importantly for this hypothesis, the period SES and the period SES interaction variables are all significant. So in this table, we present the incidence rate ratios for the interaction term between SES and period. We use the numbers from the previous table, the unexponentiated form, to calculate these incidence rate ratios. So our first hypothesis predicts that the association between SES and HIV mortality will be significantly stronger following the widespread adoption of HART. These results suggest that this is indeed true. For example, what these coefficients mean is that during the pre-heart period, the risk of HIV death decreased 6% with every 1 unit increase in the S index. However, during the post-heart period, HIV mortality risk fell 9% for every 1 unit increase in the SES index. Next, we tested our second research hypothesis that following the introduction of HART, HIV mortality would be more sensitive to increases in SES among whites as opposed to blacks. Again, we have the predictor variables in the first column, the incidence rate ratios without the interaction term in the second, and the one with the interaction term in the third column. We see that for all our we see that all of our predictors are statistically significant at the 0.001 level, and that for this hypothesis, particularly important is that the race SES and race SES interaction variables are significant. So in this table, we present the incidence rate ratios for the interaction term between race and SES. And it calculated the same way as in the previous model using the coefficients from the slide before. Our second hypothesis predicts that following the introduction of HART, HIV mortality would be more sensitive to increases in SES among whites as opposed to blacks. These results suggest that this is indeed true. For example, in the post-HART period, with every 1 unit increase in the SES index, risk of death among whites decreases 11% and among blacks 5%. So to conclude, our preliminary findings suggest that all groups were able to benefit from increases in SES to a greater extent after the HART became the standard of care as compared to before. This is consistent with the fundamental cause hypothesis. We would expect increases in SES to be associated with greater advantages in prolonging life when there is an effective treatment to access. That is, when a new treatment becomes available, such as HART, the theory predicts that the benefits conferred by higher socioeconomic status will be marshaled to learn about the availability of the treatment and to obtain it. Stemming from the fundamental cause hypothesis, we would also predict whites to benefit more than blacks from gains in SES in terms of avoiding death because we would expect that it is more likely that whites would be able to take advantage of new therapies as SES increases. And this is what we found. During the post-HART period, increases in SES led to significantly greater reductions in mortality among whites than among blacks. The idea that whites would be able to take greater advantage of new developments in HIV treatment as compared to blacks is consistent with the fundamental cause hypothesis. So in conclusion, the fundamental cause theory was successful in the situations it was predicted to be. However, these preliminary findings all require further exploration. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Marcy. Our last speaker then is, our next presentation rather, is Dr. Mike Spencer. He's an associate professor at the University of Michigan School of Social Work, where his research focus is on health disparities and among people of color and dealing with service and health care utilization.